From Pupco Studios at Britton and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK Sports Podcast. I'm Mike Sherman, sports editor of the Oklahoman, here for an open mic podcast with Barry Trammell, columnist of the Oklahoman, and we're talking about the newly released Big 12 football schedule. Barry, you'd rather talk about what than Big 12 football schedules? Is there anything you'd rather talk about?
Well, I mean, do schedules relate to conference realignment?
If they're
one and the same, then no. The answer is no. There's nothing I'd rather talk about. College football scheduling. I love to talk about it because it needs such fixing. I mean, a lot of things need fixed in college football scheduling.
Specifically, this schedule, you've got columns and blogs on News OK right now, and you have pointed out many problems with this Big 12 football schedule. Let's start with the slow start to the season. This September gives new meaning to the word soft open, doesn't it?
Well, it's the September schedule for Big 12 football's terrible. The best game on September 1st is SMU at Baylor. It's the best game on opening weekend, SMU at Baylor. Do we need to say any more? Now, on September 8th, we got two or three decent games. But then you get to September 15th, best game you got is Texas at Ole Miss, which isn't much of a game. And then TCU at Kansas. The third best game on September 5th. Everybody is playing that day except the Sooners. The third best game is Oklahoma State, Louisiana, Lafayette. That's the third best game. So September is very soft for the Big 12.
Did they run out of inventory, Barry? I mean, is part of the problem with this that A&M and Missouri left?
No. Now, the problem is all non-conference scheduling. Teams are refusing to play decent squads. Oklahoma's playing Notre Dame, and good for the Sooners. Oklahoma State's playing Arizona. That's an okay game. Iowa State's playing Iowa. TCU is playing Virginia and SMU. Thank God for SMU, Baylor and TCU both playing them. But Texas Tech's playing nobody. Kansas is playing virtually nobody. Kansas State's playing Miami, so good for them. But teams basically, at most, are playing one good non-conference team. So that means out of 30 non-conference games, we've got 10 or 12 that are something you can even stand to watch.
Now, this is not a new problem. There's been schools like Kansas State and Texas Tech for a long time that have made a practice of scheduling wins, coronations, intramural games. But did conference realignment have an even more chilling effect on non-conference scheduling?
Well, what it did was this. In the Big 12, it reduced from 4 to 3 the number of non-conference games. And most people have chosen to get rid of a decent game out of the four rather than get rid of a rum-dum. You know, most people are now playing, like I said, at the most one good game. So you're talking about one-third of the inventory is viewable, if you will. So that's a problem. Whereas, a collateral damage from conference realignment is Oklahoma actually had TCU and Notre Dame non-conference. Well, the Frogs go and join the conference, and OU replaced them basically with UTEP. So, in effect, Oklahoma traded off a game with Texas A&M for a game with UTEP. So that's a big step down. But what we need to get to is a place where people are just scheduling better non-conference games. Or, my favorite idea, add Louisville, get to 11, and keep the round robin. Play 10 conference games. And then, you know, that's at least, a pretty big chunk of games extra that would help. And then maybe people would take with two non-conference games, one good one, one bad one, and you'd have a lot fewer bad games.
This is the first podcast we've done in a long time. We used to do these all the time back before Opupco invested mightily in video and somebody came to us and said, hey, let's just take that conversation you're doing and putting it on video. Frankly, I think we lost something, the conversation about it, the free-flowing conversation. And you got back on this idea by listening to Ivan Maisel and the great Beano Cook do a college football podcast. Am I right?
Talking about West Virginia.
Now, After you said, hey, we got to get back doing this again, and I just heard these guys talk, and I went in and listened to a different Ivan Maisel, Beano Cook podcast, and they talked about, you know, conference realignment and scheduling, things you love to talk about. But a point that they made was this, and it seemed they got talking about the Big Ten, Pac-12 showcase, scheduling agreement.
Yeah.
And basically – they're going to have one game a year. Each one of those schools are going to play another one against the other conference. So you'll have Washington State playing Indiana. That doesn't sound all that interesting. USC against Ohio State sounds really interesting. But, Barry, I'm wondering, is that really bad news for the Big 12 and schools like Oklahoma that do want to schedule at least one really good non-conference game because you've taken – essentially taking two conferences off the market?
Well, first of all, I think it takes the Big Ten off the market. I don't think it takes the Pac-12 off the market necessarily because those teams have always scheduled. They have not dumbed down their schedules much in the Pac-12. So the Pac-12 might still be open. I think if you want to schedule well, there's still a market out there. You could still go to the ACC. You could still go SEC. You could still go the Big East. I mean, just because the Big East is a goofball conference doesn't mean there's not teams out there you could play. I mean, Oklahoma State could play Boise State home and home. Texas could play Cincinnati home and home. Kansas State could play Rutgers home and home. So if you want to do it, you can do it. And you know what? The problem, people keep saying, I think it's a financial problem. More than anything, people say they do it for postseason, run the table so you can go to the big bowl or get enough wins to make any bowl. I think it's just a financial problem. People wanting home games. That's the problem.
That's what Beano Cook said.
That's the problem. It's not a postseason issue. It's a financial issue.
The point was made that the Penn State football program, they were using Penn State as an example, how it funds the rest of the university's sports department. And that to take a rum-dum game away from Penn State, let's just say Temple. Although, frankly, when you look at some of these Big 12 games,
yeah,
they
Temple's
could use
not
a Temple.
Bad, yeah, Temple would be an improvement.
They beat the pants off my Terps last year, as you might recall. But take that Penn State-Temple game away and go play somebody. Go play, you know, go play a Pac-12 showcase game against Oregon State. Well, that's a bunch of money that Penn State's going to have to do without. And who knows how many programs that funds. So I'm with you. I don't think anybody's that worried about – there's only 10 programs or 9 programs, maybe not – maybe 15 to 10 programs are trying to schedule their way into prominence.
Right. Yeah, it's financial. It's financial. Oklahoma State wants 7 home games.
So
Kansas State wants 7 home games.
Well, then my question is this. Is there any way out of this? Because once upon a time, you offered the solution of universal scheduling. I mean, that's a, you know, we're living in the Pollyanna land on that. We're living in Valhalla. But you said if there was universal scheduling, it could all work out.
In the Big 12, that's why my 11-team round robin is a step in the right direction. Because in an 11-team league with a 10 round robin schedule, that means you got 5 games at home, 5 on the road. Now, if you want to go play in the Cotton Bowl against Texas, you know, that's your deal. But basically, you got 5 road and 5 home games every year. And then you got 2 games you can schedule. And hopefully, in my mind, you'd play a real game, which would be a home and home with a real opponent, and then go play a rum-dum. That means every year you'd have 6 home games, and every other year you'd have 7. So, I mean, that to me, that's a workable schedule. And think about the enhanced television package. I think you'd get more money from TV if you had better inventory.
Well, last year, and you've done this now for 3 or 4 years, in which you ranked, once upon a time, it was 96.
96, now it's 75.
Now it's 75 from 1 to 74. You're going to do this, I guess, coming up. Once they fill out
right.
the bald spots in the schedule, some you know people haven't announced their whole schedules yet. 1-75, the Big 12 football games. 1-96, the Big 12 football games. Last year, it seemed like the inventory was decent.
You're right, and part of that is because of the extra conference game. Went from the 8 conference game schedule to the 9 game conference schedule this with the current format. So when you play more conference games, you got better inventory. No doubt about it. That's why I applaud the Pac-12. They were the first ones to go to the round robin with the 10-team league, and they're still playing with 12. They're playing 9 conference games and scheduling pretty decently, as you noted, with the Big Ten agreement. So I really applaud the Pac-12. They play real schedules out west.
So what – I guess the biggest problem right now for college football fans in September is somebody's going to have to move – it looks like there's going to have to be some games moving to September.
If I was in charge of the Big 12, if I was one of the Big 12 networks, I would be trying to shove some games. You know, look at – just pick out any week of the year – of the season, doesn't matter. We'll just pick a random day. I'm not looking at the schedule. We'll pick October 20th. On October 20th, Kansas State at West Virginia – Baylor at Texas, Iowa State at OSU, Kansas at Oklahoma, and then somebody's idle, whoever's idle, Tech and whoever's idle. And so those four games, the worst of them, Kansas at Oklahoma. Well, that would be the best game from a TV standpoint on September 1st. That'd be a much more watchable because of the Oklahoma brand name. Now, the Sooners will kill them, but that slate of games on September 1st, I mean, think about that. We're kicking off the college football season, getting all fired up. Everybody's excited about Big 12 football, and here are the games you can watch on week one. SMU at Baylor, Oklahoma at UTEP, Wyoming at Texas, Marshall at West Virginia, Tulsa at Iowa State, and those are elite compared to these. Northwestern Louisiana at Tech, Savannah State at OSU, Missouri State at Kansas State, South Dakota State at Kansas. You know what this is? This is a bunch of schools from Brokeback Mountain and Little House on the Prairie Land playing these. Wyoming, UTEP, Missouri State, South Dakota State. Where are they getting these teams?
Why isn't the Pac-12 scheduling some of these people?
Well, two reasons.
Pride?
One is they don't have the rabid fan bases that we have here and like in the South for college football. So they got it for attendance and to drum up TV interest. They can't go play in South Dakota State very often.
Because nobody would show up.
Nobody would come and nobody would watch. Out here, we're kooky enough. We still come and we still watch. The other thing is this. There are not as many of the so-called mid-majors, although they're not even mid. There's not as many low-majors out there to play as there are out here. You know, the Sun Belt, for crying out loud, all those teams in the South and sort of all over the place, really. But Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Troy,
they're
Louisiana, Florida International, Florida Atlantic, Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, they just fill up the schedules of the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC. Not as prevalent out West.
Okay, so let's go back to this OU-Kansas game for a second. Wouldn't that be, the more you talked about it, the more I can't believe I'm saying this, the more excited I got about OU-Kansas football. I mean, it's the only chance anybody's going to think that's a good game is if it's the first game.
That's right.
Why? I mean,
Charlie Weiss's debut.
Some questions about the Sooners. Yeah. You know, you're taking off the wraps of these new Sooners. And you do it. You know, there'll be mystery about Dom Whaley and how healthy he is.
You've got to play some conference games in September. Which I mean, we got one on the 15th, Texas TCU at Kansas. Then on the 22nd, we got K-State at OU, and on the 29th, we got two or three games. But they've got to move some games into September. More games.
On the OU schedule, let's take the Sooners first. What games do you think could move into one of the two September open dates that the Sooners have that they could fill? What's moving on the Sooners'
schedule?
There's
nothing easily apparent. Anything that happens with OU is going to take some jerry-rigging. I mean, they would have to do all kinds of For instance, when Oklahoma is idle on the Sooners are idle on the 15th, but West Virginia has a game that day. If you wanted to move West Virginia there, Sooners are idle on the 29th, but most other teams are playing. So you have to move all kinds of games, which they very well could and probably will, at least one or so. But to me, they need to start scheduling these into September to start with and make it much easier to make sure we get us a game of decent value.
You offered on a blog that's posted right now on News OK some games that you thought would move. They weren't Sooner games. They weren't Cowboy games. They were just Big 12 games. Who could be moving?
Well, there's four games. If they want to move a game to Thursday night football, there's four games they could move easily.
Yeah, this schedule does not have any Thursday night games.
No. And, you know, ESPN typically televises 2 to 3 Thursday night games a year for the Big 12. Here are four games that you could move up 2 days earlier, play on Thursday, in which neither team plays the previous Saturday. One of those is Oklahoma State, Texas, on the 29th of September. Now, OSU won't want to play on a Thursday night. Three straight years they've had a game on Thursday night. Wrecks havoc on your campus. I don't blame OSU, but I'll bet that one gets offered up. Oklahoma State, Texas, on a Thursday night. Iowa State, Texas Tech, same day, 29th of September.
Either or.
That could be moved up. October 6th, Kansas State in Manhattan. That could be moved up, and frankly, I don't know if anybody would care one way or the other. The final one is less likely to be moved. Kansas State, Texas, December 1st, it's scheduled for. You could move that up 2 days, and it would work just fine. But I doubt they would move it because I think they want to have a really strong presence on December 1st. And Kansas State, Texas, good solid game. And that would be a nice game for December 1st.
Go back to the Kansas State game for a second. You're those two schools. And here you sit. What week did you say that was again? I'm trying to remember.
October 6th.
October 6th. Well, you're the fourth option on that week. I mean, you rank fourth. West Virginia, yep, at Texas. OU at Tech. Iowa State.
At TCU.
At TCU. Yep. So you're Kansas State. You're lost.
Yeah, you're going to be on Fox Sports Plus or something.
You're lost. Move to Thursday.
Move to Thursday.
Let people talk about Charlie Weiss and what a great job he's doing.
It wouldn't be a great national game, but it would be a good coach. People would be interested for the coaching matchup. Charlie Weiss versus Bill Snyder.
It's a better national game than it was last year, I bet.
Yeah, and that game was on TV last year, I think.
Yep.
On Thursday night,
okay,
I think.
Okay, so let's go back to Thursday nights for just a second. You say people don't like them.
Well, most schools don't like to host them because they wreak havoc on your parking and your class schedule, all those things.
But the Oklahoma State Texas game is interesting. You said it was ideal for a couple other reasons. One, OSU's got the byes of Texas around it. It has a bye before Texas and a bye after Texas.
Yeah.
Does that make it any more likely that somebody goes to them and says, move it?
Well, I don't necessarily think so. I mean, OSU, that'd make their layoff 16 days before the Kansas game. They don't need, they don't need 24 hours to get ready for Kansas. So, and I think OSU will resist playing on Thursday night at home, but doesn't mean they'll be successful. I mean, they might have to give it up and do it anyway.
Okay, so we've talked about the problems with inventory. We've talked about the problems with non-conference schedules that led to the problems with inventory. Isn't it likely then that the bill paying folks, the TV networks, come and say, "Look, you've not given us anything. I'm sorry, Savannah State. You got to be kidding me." So, because of Savannah State, you have to pay. You have to move to Thursday.
That's a possibility. Yeah, I mean, they can put pressure. Now, a couple of schools won't do it. Texas and Oklahoma won't play at home on a Thursday night. Texas outside of Thanksgiving. But Sooners won't do it. They just say no. The other schools, which don't have the national brand or the national influence and could use some good national exposure. The Thursday night games have been great for OSU. Look at them. The Brandon Wheaton coming out party in 09 against Colorado. The Texas A&M comeback in 2010. The 2011 game against Arizona. These are all games that put your school on the national stage. The primetime game of college football each year is not the Saturday night special on ABC. It's not CBS 3 o'clock with the SEC. The primetime game, the answer to the NFL's Sunday night football with Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, is Thursday night on ESPN. That's a stage that you can't replicate anywhere else. So there's a lot of good reasons to do it.
And why? And you think the problem's on campus and what it does?
It just messes up. You can't really. You got to clear out the parking lots starting at noon. So sometimes you have to cancel the afternoon classes. You know, the professors are parking in the spots where the donors want to park. It makes for a mess. And, you know, it really does sort of disrupt a campus. You don't blame people for trying to avoid it.
It's not for the Blue Bloods. They already have that. They don't need that platform all day long. They don't need everybody in the country watching them, because they feel like everybody in the country is going to watch them anyway.
Look at last year, that Friday night when Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State. That was the best exposure Iowa State football's ever gotten. Well, it was the biggest win in terms of knocking off a high-ranked team. It was the biggest win in school history, and they did it on a night which was nationally televised and no other games on TV. So what a promotion, what a commercial for Iowa State football. Got the Cyclones bowl eligible. Paul Rhodes and his demonstrative emotion, and really a good recruiting tool. And then they have the great win, and the fans storm the field. I mean, that was, you know, the MasterCard commercials, priceless. That was priceless for Iowa State. They could not write a check big enough to replicate that anywhere else.
Anymore, what we're talking about with college football scheduling is the quest to make good television. And what you're talking about here is there's not enough good television. And a big news story that broke yesterday about the TCU football drug bust makes you wonder if we're going to even have less good television than we thought when this schedule got rolled out.
Yeah, TCU, I was very excited and optimistic about TCU. Now, not so much. I think they're going to struggle this season. I mean, they're going to be without at least three key players, maybe more, considering some of the comments from in the police reports about the drug use on the squad. It really is a stain on the program at TCU. I think it's going to have an adverse effect. That Oklahoma at TCU finale, December 1st, has lost a lot of luster. I would be surprised if TCU is now a Big 12 contender. I thought they were before yesterday. Now I don't think so.
Gary Patterson, a great coach, has built that program back. Really gained a little, respect in my mind, the way he's responded to this, kicking people off the team immediately. I guess there was a surprise drug test right after the bowl game that sort of tripped this wire in a lot of ways. He'll have to do a much better job to even get this team competitive after what's happened. And what, you know, as you said, I was looking towards that game thinking, what a difficult end of the season for the Sooners. Now it just looks like, I don't know, a home game against Iowa State.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I think TCU will be okay. They're going to be representative. They're going to be competitive. They're not going to be championship worthy. I mean, I would be surprised if we don't see some more fallout from this in terms of the TCU roster. I'd be surprised if not more players are end up off this team, because that was not good news. When you have a player saying, you know, 60 guys failed the drug test, 82 guys failed the drug test, you know, that's not good. And Gary Patterson seems like a no-nonsense guy. I got to believe that TCU is about to go through some whitewashing.
We're talking about the Big 12 schedule, and I got two more topics for us. You can take them in the order you like. One, the new kids in town, the other new kids in town, sort of the exciting new kids in town, especially after yesterday's news, the West Virginia Mountaineers and what they'll do to the schedule. And second, the opposite of that, Savannah State.
Well, Savannah State, I mean, here's the deal. All teams virtually are playing 1AA opponents anymore. Oklahoma added Florida A&M. Texas Tech is playing a 1AA Northwestern Louisiana and a team, Texas State, that was 1AA last year. Everybody's putting them on. The difference between Savannah State is that they're the worst of the worst. They've won 20 games in the last 12 years total. They're just really non-competitive. So, you know, you can make the point one double A team's the same as the next, except the difference between, let's say, an Appalachian State, which beat Michigan, the difference between Appalachian State and Savannah State is the difference between Alabama and Louisiana Monroe. It literally is that much difference. It's the worst of the worst. There is no great compelling evidence that Savannah State could beat Central Oklahoma. UCO might beat Savannah State.
Hey, there were people, I think, in response to your blog about this topic, one of the comments was, why not just play UCO?
Yeah, just play UCO. And that, frankly, that's the next thing coming. I mean, we'll start – eventually we'll see some
Northeastern State.
We'll see some Division II teams on Big 12 schedules because it's the next thing down. So, I mean, we're not that far away. Play Savannah State, anything's possible.
Savannah State, Oklahoma State fans, they were saying, are we going to get the same kind of coverage and outcry over OU scheduling of Florida A&M? I said, you know, my comment was no. Florida A&M's nothing to write home about, but – they played Illinois. They played Miami twice. They played Virginia Tech in the last six to eight years, and they win football games.
Yeah, they're
I mean,
competitive.
They're winning seven, eight games sometimes.
They're on a substandard level, but they're competitive on that level. Savannah State is not competitive on that level, not at all. Now, as for West Virginia, they're going to be fun. They're going to be fun. And when they come to Stillwater on November 10th, that's going to be a big night for the Big 12 and for Stillwater, the first appearance of the Mountaineers. And then the next week, the Sooners go to Morgantown, for crying out loud. That's going to be wild. Great early stretch of the year. Texas, after coming to Stillwater on October 29th, goes home and hosts West Virginia. That will be a football game, West Virginia at Texas. And then the next week, Texas plays Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. Really brutal opening stretch for the Longhorns.
We might want to go to that West Virginia Texas game. You know, we used to do that frequently.
Yeah,
we would go to whoever Texas was playing the week before. They were playing Oklahoma. I need to look at it. Is there an open week for somebody that week?
Yeah, the Sooners don't play that week.
Well, there you go. Somebody needs to go watch Dana Holgorsen against the Longhorns.
No, Cowboys don't play.
Cowboys don't play.
Use that Tech. Cowboys off that weekend.
That's interesting. I mean, that's is South by Southwest that week?
No, it's the next week. I don't know. Austin City Limits is the next week.
Yeah. Well,
South by Southwest, I don't know. And I've talked.
Yeah, Austin City
Limits. Told you more about the music industry than I know.
West Virginia, though. You got a column. It's coming to News OK soon. It'll be in the Oklahoman on Friday about getting them a buddy out east.
They need a partner.
And you talked to the West Virginia
Oliver
Athletic
Luck.
Director.
I talked to Oliver Luck. Good. I'll be sharing a lot of that with you, but he's not making waves about getting another partner. He's not trying to make waves. But the truth is, we need Louisville in this conference just to help make a bridge to West Virginia. It's a long way from Ames, which is the closest school to West Virginia, from Ames to Morgantown.
What?
So we got
Mr. Geography, you said the closest school to Morgantown is Ames, Iowa.
So we've got to build a bridge. I think Louisville's the best bridge. It would help bring stability to the conference. So hopefully in the near future we get to that 11-team conference and go back to that 10-game round robin I talked about.
Listen, we're going to wrap it up here. That's all for the Open Mic Podcast with Barry Trammell talking about Big 12 conference football scheduling. But stay with the best coverage team every day at News OK and every morning in the Oklahoman.